helpful, Jeff, to change up your environment a little bit just to mix it up. Like, I know people do extreme sports or travel the world just to, like, kind of mix it up, because there's that wow factor, there's that fresh factor, there's that, oh, something new that feels like you're more alive, or, like, just stuff gets more present for you.
Doesn't it, can't that be helpful?
Come on now, you know you love it when we ask you questions.
Sure, yeah. Of course.
As much as Meryl.
Helpful for what?
I don't know. It's to help you see this.
To ameliorate my dissatisfaction with my normal life.
It seems like every time we come here and I look at this wall, I keep looking for whatever I'm looking for in these walls and ceiling. Like, okay, now I'm going to see it. And it, like, the mind is so stuck in that I know what this looks like. To go someplace new sometimes feels really fresh, and all of a sudden you can kind of see with new eyes.
Want to trade seats?
Maybe I should. Because I usually sit on the side.
Maybe you should sit underneath the table.
So you're missing that it is already that. You've convinced yourself that it's familiar to you. You've convinced yourself that you are familiar to you.
How is it that I seem less familiar to me when I go someplace that I've never been before that's kind
of
cool? Like,
well, of course. Well, because that's the externalization of, you know, a profound vista of novelty. So new impressions are pouring in. You're outside of your, you know, so-called behavioral rhythm.
And that's what so many people do.
And you get a kick.
Yeah. Like a lot of people, when they, you know, they just want to travel, it's like they got it. That's what they do. Well,
it's another way of ameliorating the banality of self. Yeah.
It's not going to, like, assist me to ameliorate the banality of self.
No.
Damn.
Well, in a sense it does, because, you know, you get a temporary relief from the imaginary boundaries that you've created or that have appeared in your own consciousness that you have unwittingly chosen to believe.
Now, suppose you were to do the same thing, but know that that's exactly what you're doing. Like, you're ameliorating the banality of self.
Okay.
And you know.
Yeah.
We all do it.
So would the texture of the experience be different?
Well, okay, let's do it here.
Mm-hmm. Always yes. So it's different.
Okay.
But this isn't something I do to be...
It's not like a cruise, you mean?
Yeah. I mean,
son of a gun.
This is like... This is mundane, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Mundane to the point of unchartable bliss.
I like mundane. I do. It's good. It's cheaper that way. Just a good thing.
So the reflex is we don't yet understand the nature of self-revelation as radiant being. So we take it for granted, or we skip over it, right? We skip over the profundity of ourselves in search of stimulating ourselves to attempt to get away from the appearance of predictability, sameness, mundanity, if that's the right word, and get a hit. And most of us would prefer to remain so externalized than to discover a quality of self-refinement that needs no other. And that trigger for the externalization to, in a sense, feed or stimulate one's sense of self as a disparate character is the foundational samsaric impulse.
So if it doesn't have that motive, the same action won't have the charge. In other words, I'm not going somewhere new to escape a mundane present that has me in a loop of dissatisfaction and dullness of sorts. It just happens.
Okay. What can we really do with a hypothetical situation that's brought up? You can say okay, or you can say yes, exactly, or no, that's not right. But how could you? It's like okay. Anything you imagine about some hypothetical experience of yours or someone else's is like sounds great, fantastic.
It does seem to feel good. Consciousness seems to enjoy changing scenery in some sense, and it feels good.
Yeah.
I mean, because I'm in a situation, first-hand experience right now, where a minute before now, where I'm totally trapped in a loop. I feel that way. You know, I'm not going very far in a day.
Yeah.
So when I go out, it feels good. Just the change of scenery feels good. It's not that it's helpful, necessarily. It just feels, not necessarily good, is it? It's just different.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's a...
We love novelty.
Yeah. We seem to really enjoy novelty.
We carry around with us emotions and things that we are exposed to. So when those emotions are touched, you feel it. Wouldn't you say? I mean, it's part of the experience. Right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I feel more just like staring at a different wall. Like if you're staring at the same wall 24 hours a day, eventually you just want to look at a different wall.
So my contention here is that what if it were possible that this very moment, without any adornment or externalization whatsoever, were novel beyond imagination?
Yeah. But I still want to
understand. No one's suggesting that someone should or shouldn't do anything.
Yeah, it's not helpful necessarily.
Yeah.
But like Dave was pointing out, there'd be that lack of grasping for it.
Well, the trick is here. See it here. Have a sufficiently intimate encounter with your own presence and the effortless cessation of grasping. No pressure, because it's not a thing to do. And you can't fuck it up.
It's funny, though, because I will turn it into a thing to do. I will turn it into, okay, now it's my practice to do very little travel, to do very little. This is just it. If I can't see it here, then too bad. I'm just going to, like, almost torture myself. I will do that. And I actually did do it for a while.
Well, it's a...
And it's like, all right, I'm traveling.
It's a kind of sabotage, right? It's a kind of schizophrenic sabotage. Since absolute effortlessness in some way doesn't appeal to us, we are compulsed to invest in a thing to do, so that once again we drag our subjective nature along for the ride, so that you're the one dissatisfied, cleverly discovered a solution. Now you will apply yourself to that solution like nobody's business to see if it works for you.
Yeah.
It's like, how about not?
It's like type of spirituality.
Okay, sure.
Up for a long time ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like,
yeah.
I don't know. It seems to be very sad.
Well, you can. You can notice that whatever experience you're having, or think you're having, or imagine you're having, is unreal and unsatisfactory.
Just notice that.
that's enough.
And the unsatisfactory then is an opener, kind of?
Yes.
Is it what?
Opener. Like if it's satisfactory, you kind of get maybe dull sleepy instead of.
Well, it's an interesting yoga to go to the root of the mirage of unsatisfactoriness. Because you can see we're always extroverting, right? We're always spinning away from the subtle root of discomfort or boredom or predictability or banality to create, right, participate in, draw to oneself, if not evoke, novelty.
It's like, damn, I'm not finding it here. All right, I can't stand it another minute. I'm going to find it out there.
So what is the most, simple element in the periodic table?
Hydrogen.
Yes? And why is it the simplest element in the periodic table?
It has only one electron.
It has one electron, right? And what does it love to do before anything else?
Bond.
Escape.
I'll go spinning off. Wow.
What does it love to do before bond? Escape.
Escape from what?
Meaning it's unstable?
To itself.
Totally.
And it can't.
Why it's unstable?
Oh, I see. We are that.
It's the same.
Element.
Damn.
It's the same.
Did you just make that up?
Okay.
Okay. It's a gaseous moment. Sorry about that. With a singularity to it. Sorry, it's the
watermelon.
Now we
blend it on the watermelon.
I get the escape.
Now, call it the animated beatitude of consciousness unencumbered, loves to escape, doesn't have to be your problem.
Responsible for hydrogen.
Containing.
The same as, I think, that this wants to enjoy something doesn't have to be your enjoyment or problem or issue or it's nothing to avoid.
No.
It's just something.
What if it were possible? Perhaps that, yes. What if it were possible to leave yourself be? This just does what it does. Drags your silly ass from place to place for the sake of novelty or excitation or learning, growth, escapism. Doesn't matter what the motives are because we don't really know what they are anyway. You can't really pin the tail on the donkey to say what are your motives. Nobody can.
It
doesn't have any.
That's what I like about sitting. I see these impulses come, and the impulses go. And it's like, well,
fromage d'affinois. Cheese.
Oh, it's like when
it comes to
okay. You know what? I'm going to have it. What they're having, an omelet with bacon and gravy.
It's the spread.
A salad on the side.
Bacon, green salad.
Coffee, water, and lemon.
So they say cheese and bread instead of butter?
I made a decision fast.
That was all such a thing.
Oh, here's the bread with the braid, right?
Two braids, that's the question.
Two braids, the answer. So this reminds me of what I find, I feel like is a directional pointer, I'd say.
Okay.
In my experience, that if I'm meandering along,
which you are,
all is well.
All is well.
When I have an agenda,
uh-huh,
and I'm trying to get something accomplished,
yeah,
then I become uncomfortable.
Okay.
And that is my teacher. That's how I feel.
The discomfort is your teacher.
Yes, because it's telling me, you know, you shithead, you're trying to do something. What do you? Fuck you. You're stupid.
I love your teacher.
You're just stupid. So this is how, that's what you want, then this is how you're going to feel.
Okay.
And it's helpful.
Why? Well, what's the goal? That you should have no agenda?
it's not a goal. It's just a fact. It's just the way it happens in my experience.
Mm-hmm. So that if you find yourself with an agenda, as in something you'd like to accomplish, mm-hmm. that's...
The message is uncomfortable.
Is that stress? I mean, let's say you want to do the dishes. Thank you so much. Can I get some more decaf? Yes, okay, but...
I don't know.
But here's the thing. You know, your... Not just your, but anyone's so-called behavior is not important.
It's not what?
Not important. Wouldn't that be wild?
Sounds kind of restful.
That your behavior, what you do with this, why you do it, whether it works out satisfactorily to you or not, you don't have any interest in that.
True, you can experience the discomfort.
Why not?
But there is a different quality of experience that I experience.
Mm-hmm.
At different times.
Yeah, that would make sense. You experience different stuff at different times.
Uh-huh. And stuff.
You get the T-shirt.
That a certain thing is like an indication of, I guess, let's call it selfing.
Mm.
Like Paul Hederman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
That's me.
It's too unsettling for us.
Are you all right?
Thank you. It's too unsettling for us to come to the simplest terms, which is, this is not about anything.
My band-aid stuck to my bed.
It happens.
Sorry.
If this is not about anything, then where do you place all of the curiosities, conundrums, consternations, strategies, and takeaways of your imaginary life? It's like they just become irrelevant, right? Because you have to place a tremendous amount of interest and legitimacy in what you think you're experiencing is to stack it up and figure it out, to make it better, to play whack-a-mole.
Self-enhancement, self-reference.
That's right. First, you must participate in the hallucination that there's a self here that has something to do or that could possibly care, in a manner of speaking, about what it does, how it does it, whether it turns out to your satisfaction. In other words, it's all about, why do you care what exactly this is doing with you?
It's interesting, environmentally, socially, if you care about the self, there's a lot of reinforcements.
Mm-hmm.
If you find yourself not caring about the self, the environment tends to go on alert and target that person or situation as problematic.
You're talking about people, not the environment.
I'm talking about people.
Yeah,
like
the environment doesn't do that. The environment reinforces it.
Like if I start saying every day, I don't really care about anyone. I don't mm-hmm. care about this self. I'm not invested in it. And it's just the way I am. Are you okay? Do you need medication or guidance? Because aren't you invested in this life? You know, don't you want to?
Is this really true? I mean, are these your own inner demons talking or somebody else?
I have a very obviously a self that loves showing up. And,
okay.
And there's an I that recognizes a relief when I'm not invested at all.
Okay.
So I have this duality dancing with
myself. Do you?
From investment, but investment sort of, it's not really as intensely like believing it. And then sometimes I'm cool with sunshine, I'm cool with rain, And who's the auditor?
Well, you see what we do. We report on ourselves as if we're here.
I know. There's a lot of eyes in that statement, yes.
Can you pass me a little tiny bit?
A very strong, strong sense of eye.
Hmm?
But why not, also?
Yeah, this is. There's no suggestion here with respect to what to do or what not to do. It's only a reflection on the, you could say, the curious geometry of how consciousness and thought operates. Thanks. And the sense of a disparate, reified, willful, choosing self that creates. That's all.
Which is what I feel like I experience at those times when I have an agenda. That difference.
Okay. Yeah. So have an agenda. So not have an agenda. So suffer by having an agenda, or not suffer by not having an agenda, or mix it up. Not suffer when you have an agenda. Suffer when you don't have one. Try that out. You see what I mean? There's no ideal that we're attempting to accomplish that puts you in the diaper driver's seat.
So then relief is not an objective, because I'm just discovering this eye that keeps sneaking in is kind of referencing relief.
Well, sure.
Relief from this.
Yep. Well, that's right. I mean, the only reason relief is useful to you is by virtue of contrast. And so relief is also, you know, a samsaric marionette. We can't actually assess or comment with any authority on the nature of present experience. In order to do so, we have to make stuff up, which is partial at best, and then create an apparent matrix or relationship between these hallucinatory elements that places me in the picture as a durable creature. That's what thinking does. That's what association does. It creates you here, now, as, right, a creature, a resonance, a texture, to whom something has occurred, to one where insufficiency is, you know, an issue, to one who now is working on the finest remedies for the hallucination of suffering. And damn it, will turn out to be the grateful enjoyer of this profound relief. And that, all of that is what? It's imagination. It doesn't mean we shouldn't go to the Rockies. When are we leaving? You know, novel it up. Maybe the most sublime revelation is that there's no revelation.
I mean, I'm cool with Phil Collins and McAndre's right now, and the bread with cream.
Okay, cool is good.
A buzz, a coffee buzz.
That cheese with the watermelon, by the way, is kind of good. They do a salad with watermelon.
The moment we assess or characterize ourselves in some way, we are relying on the hallucination of past, the hallucination of future, and the hallucination of present. because we're addicted to secondhand news. The challenge, then, is to, I don't know, feel this primacy without adornment.
Just do your own experiment. Because that same addiction that if I start going out and trying to tell everybody else, you know, whatever, something about the past, the future, or what, how it might be.
We kind of doggedly insist on creating and clinging to a steering wheel which doesn't actually exist. One common theme in, right, Buddhist or contemplative endeavor is referred to as peace. Okay, what's peace? What is it?
It sounds like a total unachievable thing if you're talking about peace meaning anything external or even anything internal. As to be anything that actually is possible in this world, it would have to encompass everything. Because if you say peace has to be just like blissed out all the time, I doubt anybody's ever there.
Well, peace might be death. Death, I mean.
The really. Interesting thing is that we will use the word peace as if we all understand and agree on what that is.
For me, it used to be just that, no, that feeling of contentment, a feeling of bliss. That's what it used to be. But I kind of get that it's not sustainable. Never has.
See, even the phone can remain in peace.
Well, because you're obsessed with peace as well, being quiet.
Well, I don't know.
Meditate, like.
Oh, I meditate.
Well, your piece used to be, you know, what peace, people would do
is,
permaculture.
Is what
in,
is.
In
when you say,
the
so then it's the
void. My piece, the piece of my piece was like, you know, the better than you.
Yeah, see,
all these
now
things outside, we think
relaxation of all things.
It's not fighting this.
Yeah, I think if
you're fighting,
what's peace for you?
Well, I went to Kaylee's for fighting this morning, and I did so to kind of extend an olive branch or open a door because I'm going to camp with a group of people and blah, blah, blah.
Smart move, yeah.
I think that's why it's a circle.
And did gain it. So I just use this as an example, and it's not really hugely present for me now. Like my brother, because he's my brother or whatever, can trigger stuff in me very quickly, you know. And when my son, like, they knew what buttons to push or whatever. And I get that this is all a story I tell myself, you know what I mean? Of them behaving this way, which causes me to feel this way. But then she was saying something kind of similar to what you're saying, in that the part that was, context of this conversation, I'm starting to answer like many questions in the, you know, but
good sign.
Turn your, like, forgiveness is, you know, not your job. It's sort of like just letting, you know, it's like God's job or something. Like, and then there's that. And but then she was also saying something about, like, going back and going back and going back. So, like, three incidents occurred to me this summer, and or a few did, and they all seem to have a similar theme.
You were there.
Yeah, I was there. Right?
That was the theme.
That was the theme.
You were there.
And when I trace them back, you know, it's like some fear, it's some insecurity. It's like a story I tell myself, you know. It's real. I mean, I get that it's all imaginary. But I feel like this is just a judgment, okay? A total judgment right now. Total judgment on my brother.
That's all we have.
My brother sitting here having this conversation, one would not exist, but yeah, probably. But he, like, to try and get him to see the first level, maybe, of, like, okay, there's this thing with the common theme, and the common person is you. And it's a story, and if it's a story you've been telling yourself for a long time, since probably childhood.
Before we're interested in counseling your brother.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
He wouldn't be able, my judgment again would be that he wouldn't be able to connect, like even get to that point, do you know what I mean?
Okay.
To even go deeper to say, you know, it's a fear, it's an insecurity, the common person is me, it's a story, and blah, blah, blah.
I see, right.
To then get to the level, like maybe where we're at now, where it's like...
Oh, goody, we're at a level.
Words are getting in the way, Jeff.
Well, I'm just teasing.
To get to the point where, what the fuck does it mean anyway?
Yeah.
I mean, I get that you can go to what the F does it mean anyway.
Yeah.
But without going through all those, quote, levels, but at some point, I don't know, I'm back to that maturity thing again. I feel like you're not going to find people that are...
Let's go back to you. What does peace mean for you?
Peace.
What is peace for you?
When I'm not in my mind, when I'm out of my mind.
Good point, when you're out of your mind.
When I don't have an agenda, when I don't, you know, have a, you know, past thought about something or someone, or I'm not in Lisa.
So that's good. So then we do have a,
Lisa.
Not that it's good as contrasted with bad. We have, let's say, an instinct for something that we use the word peace to point to represent.
And all other words as well.
Yes. And peace sounds like some kind of cessation. Right? Relief from, release from, cessation of, right? Affliction. And that affliction could be psychiatric affliction, spiritual affliction, physical affliction, the affliction between nations, the mismanagement of natural resources and the burning of fossil fuels. Right? Yeah. So in a sense, peace is a simple word for a very, very kind of broad bandwidth of, as a solvent, as a remedy, or the actualization of all of these problems, afflictions being, right, cleared out. We can notice how we might tend to externalize or make peace dependent on circumstances and events. Right, so therefore peace is conditional. Right?
It's almost always tied to
peace. I just get is it. That which is beyond all the conditions.
That's
in my mind.
Okay. That's another, let's just say, subtle.
So it's always present.
It's another refinement on what we are implying by the word peace, what we mean by peace. At one level, we could say it's the resolution of, right, individual, group, or global affliction. At another level, all of the symptoms of affliction are not a problem. They don't need to be resolved. You don't need to be resolved.
So this is begging the question for me, that is asking what is peace to you, even a legitimate question.
Is it a legitimate question?
Yes. Does that question even have any meaning?
No, not really.
Because we're just playing with concepts.
Yeah.
Today we're talking about a concept of an eye that we have, a concept of peace.
Concepts
kind of
will never
times.
Well, you cannot actually merely play with concepts. You cannot dismiss or refuse your present experience as only playing with concepts. Your vitality is present. Your vitality is not a concept. You're here. This is your life. We may be befuddled by concepts in, right, mental space. That we can agree to. But it's not actually possible that concepts are a problem, an obscuration, an obstacle, or anything at all.
Because they appear in this present moment. If we were discussing the concept of yesterday, then it's really...
But those still are appearing in this present moment. If we were discussing the concepts of yesterday, the only place that you can be is in this present moment. With or without the presence of so-called concepts as befuddlements or spheres of truth. We tend to be, you know, dismissive of ourselves, of each other, right, of affliction, of what's bothering me, right? We can be kind of reflexively trigger-happy dismissive. Oh, well, that's just bullshit, everything's bullshit, or it's just concepts, right, or it's this or it's that. I know what this is, and it's just this. I know what this is, and it's just that, right? We have this tendency to be dismissive, oftentimes inwardly. And then it leaks out, right, under stress, socially, or certainly in relationship, it can leak out, right? These swaths that we paint of, you're no good for all these reasons, and it's all bullshit, and I'm, you know, but, right? We just reflexively appear to be remarkably dismissive with everything. But what it really is a extroverted reflection of how weary we are with ourselves.
And there is, you can't quite shape it. You may claim that it's all out there and you're sick of this and that, but underneath there's always that little knowing that it's really...
You're there.
And there's also the knowing that even if I did something drastic and ended up there,
yes,
I would still bring me with me and I wouldn't be any
That's right.
better off. And then you land
yeah.
in. Then you land in, like, hopelessness.
You can't leave yourself in the trunk for too long.
Hopelessness. Utterly hopeless.
Hopeless is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Neil Raker would say so.
So might you.
Yeah, that's why I remembered it. So I was like, huh? What? Hopelessness? Is it truly?
And then light springs eternal, and I buy a ticket to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, not hopeless again. Really? I've got a good airfare to Toronto.
Yeah, right.
Doesn't hope always imply some future condition?
Ask the hope expert. I understand. Really. I am not sitting here to be depressed. I'm going to get a ticket. I'm going to do a thing. That is it. Do not count on me to sit here and take that. Yeah, I get it.
So when we were talking, I had like a sort of a picture in my mind of, on the one hand, we have a tendency to engage in what is enjoyable, whatever. Okay, so that's the cycle.
Yeah.
In the middle, there's a, that's how I'm going to say, no preference, for lack of a better term.
We call that Malcolm.
Other, we have the, this is all bullshit, this is meaningless. So it's like the pendulum, right? If you start over here, then we get past the center, and then we're reacting to, then we say, this is bullshit. This is all bullshit. It's like the other side.
Yeah, I think.
The pendulum is swinging, and we want to get to the center.
Since one's consciousness is full of sparkles and referential fireworks and elaborations, swing on. It does swing. One's mind, one's associations, one's priorities, one's restlessness, one's refusal to suffer, right, is a giant pendulum. And then what we do with it, right, the impulse to medicate, avoid, bring happiness, seek novelty, it doesn't matter what the motives are. It could be some subtle kind of refusal, which then looks like, oh, something fun to do.
Usually.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. And it's not like you or anyone needs to do anything about the curious strategies that may appear in your experience to attempt to accomplish peace or resolution.
That's no better or no worse than going on strike and saying, I'm just not going to get on a bed today.
No, there's no... No, do that tomorrow.
Yeah.
After you come back from Toronto, do that.
That's it. Like, it's no better. And I've toyed with both. My tendency is just I'll do the run thing. It just feels better than being in bed all day.
That this is always about you.
And it's all about you, man.
And that you're pulling, the ideal string in that moment. That can stop.
There's a lot of pressure in that.
Pressure how?
In studying and trying to give it my best shot to pull the ideal string. Will this string do it? Will this string be better? I can't tell you the agony I've gone through trying to decide what my schedule is going to be for the fall and where I'm going to go.
Yeah.
If I just get it right, then maybe I won't have to suffer.
You're right.
It's huge, and it's absurd.
So you're willfully, and we're all doing this, no one's singling you out. No, you're the only one.
And if only my schedule was more organized and stuff.
If only you could organize the schedule, you would.
Are you doing the same thing when you're saying that other people aren't agreeing with how you think they should be?
One invests in scheduling one's apparent experience, which is primarily avoidant. Okay. So the we don't really relieve the knot, the matrix of avoidancy. Right? We only become more neurotic about making sure that I'll be the most successful possible with the choices I make to avoid. There's no winning there. It doesn't mean anyone should stop. It's not really even a problem. I'm just looking at the geometry of it. Who gives a fuck?
I get what I'm doing, and I've done it for the duration.
Yeah, okay.
Since I started on this sort of bad.
Well, you probably did it before. It was just, of course, you know, a different quality of strategy.
Mm-hmm. Didn't claim to be spiritual, like, do I do this retreat or not do this retreat?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you became somehow curiously interested in spiritual, and so then that, it started looking like that. But before that, it could have been, you know, roller derby.
How did you get over
there? Right. You got the look.
Yeah. I used to rollerblade a lot.
I used to rollerblade.
I used to rollerblade
skates.
I'm older than her.
I can see it now.
Fist fights were the best. Get out a lot of aggression.
Thanks. All right, so I have another question for you.
All right. Make sure it's annoying.
I don't think so. Is there a difference between that which...
May I?
Me too.
If you do, just want to let you know.
Difference between
that which is effortful and that which is effortless.
No, there's no difference between anything and anything because nothing's happening here.
Oh, I don't want it.
This is doing itself, you could say, only entirely effortlessly.
But can we experience that effortlessness as opposed to
here it is? What's here it is?
In my experience, there's a
in your imagination,
yes,
of
yes,
your about your experience.
That I'm bringing here, sometimes
yeah.
things seem hard to, let's say, accomplish.
There is nothing to accomplish.
That's why it's hard.
Everything that's
because
been done,
can.
Fair enough, everything that appears to have been done on the so-called planet was done by whom exactly?
Is it more like a what?
Peter Caber.
Alf. Alf's the answer. How'd you know? I mean, do you see what I... Is it clear that this is doing itself right now?
Mm-hmm. But sometimes...
Hang on with the butt for a moment. Just give yourself 2 seconds to, like, this is doing itself. It will be anything you need. This is the challenge, really, that we become available, in a manner of speaking, friendly with, nourished by the simple observation, this is doing itself. Why is it so impossible for us to let that in and chill the fuck out?
I haven't thought about that on the way in here. It's like, that's kind of easier to do when I'm in a good mood. And I found it, you know, because I was finding, trying to just, when I'm feeling like really bad, it's suddenly to realize, okay, you have to go through this stage of, like, panic loneliness. you know, whereas I'm more familiar and comfortable with you know, a few times it's happened and it's kind of blissful. But when you can't even imagine bliss and suddenly, I don't know. It still feels better in its own way, but it's not quite bliss yet.
We want to drag the imagination of our subjective self along for the ride. That's the core of the world being other than you. If you were to feel, and I know you feel it all the time, though it's just, you know, it kind of, it's vague, right? To not have a schedule of workshops, of social engagements, of fun and or entertaining things to do. I'm not saying you should cancel any plans. What would happen to you? What's the withholding? What's the presumption? What's the fear? What's the certainty of what will happen to any of us without appointments? Will you become homeless? Will you become forgotten? Will you become ignored? Will the great vastness of nothing at all engulf you, never to be seen or heard from again? Will you become irrelevant? Will you become depressed? Right. So somewhere along the line, and we can all relate to this, depression sucks big time. And if I could exercise a commitment, a vow, for my willfulness never to be depressed again or to that degree, then I might attempt to exercise that, right, willfulness. By exercising the willfulness to never be depressed again, one is living under the shadow, the myth, the horror, the apprehension of depression as a way of life, which you could say is a being kind of depressed.
It's those presuppositions.
Well, it's the whole matrix. You see, anything that we insist that is going to happen or not happen to us becomes a prison. And so we can't then actually wake up out of the entire matrix of sorrow as long as we've taken a position and then insist that XYZ will or will never happen to me again. And I'm going to use my will, my wherewithal, my wits, my money, my social connections to ensure that it doesn't. But so what's running the show then? Freedom or depression avoidance?
Yeah, I'm a visual person, and as a listening, I see this ball of condition, and then I see the self separating itself. Now you have the self that thinks it's in charge of improving conditions, or analyzing conditions, or
right.
Getting free of conditions,
and
so on and so forth.
The puppeteer.
You know, and it's like one, nothing conflicting with anything else. To I get it.
Yeah.
I think I know what's going on. There's all these conditions. I've got a handle on it.
We can't break the myth of being the sufferer of depression as long as we're three steps ahead of depression.
Three steps ahead of depression?
Meaning ensuring that the best we can, that I will not subject myself or be depressed in that intense manner ever again.
I hear that as separating myself from the condition.
Yes.
And being cleverly objective.
Right.
About the conditions.
Then also we're placing a tremendous pressure, not just on ourselves, but on the workshop, on the teacher, on the friend, on the food, on the restaurant, on everything that we've invested in to make sure that I will not suffer depression. I've placed tremendous pressure on myself and all of the accoutrements of my schedule and my experience to make sure that I get the most serotonin uptake from those commitments.
Now they're all triggers.
Yeah, and now if I don't, if they begin to dissatisfy me, like a trip to Long Island or whatever, right, then you can see, you can feel the consequences of the incredible disappointments that occur when we've invested so much interest and demand that these appointments and schedules and workshops and gurus and teachers and drugs will deliver. And we're fucked. In a good way. I mean, I'm not saying there's anything we should do about it. It's not a problem, really.
I guess there's a false attribute that you do something and coincidentally you get a result, a good one or a not good one.
Yeah.
And you do something and you get a result, a good one and not good. And then you link cause and effect to, I'm having an effect on this condition, so let me refine it.
Yes. Right.
Can it be flipped where it has an effect on the subjective illusion of self?
Okay, of course it can. You can flip it how many ways? Flip anything every which way you feel like it just for fun to see how it feels.
When I ask that question, I'm asking, is that valid?
What's valid?
God damn it.
As long as you or I are hoping to find or insist upon sufficient meritorious phenomenal expression and then label it as valid, you're fucked.
If you dissect your experience, is there a quality of one that is different? Is there a difference in the quality of
your
experience?
No, there's no difference
about
anything with anything.
That's my fundamental error, I think.
But this speaks to kind of the core of the hallucination of that sense of me that refuses, right, to be afflicted ever again. Right? That's the creation of an apparent solidity of self as a durable subjective nature that could possibly be on the receiving end of the worst imaginable misery possible. And then the fervent rally-ho commitment that I will not so suffer. Good luck with that.
My thing is effort. So I don't avoid suffering. I'm not that doesn't work.
Suffering's not bothering you. You've kicked suffering's ass.
I find that suffering is very powerful.
Yeah.
Extremely powerful.
Yeah.
And I mean it's.
Yeah, but suffering's not your thing.
A lot.
Effort's your thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the...
Sort of lost it, but...
Yeah.
But...
Right.
Effort is what pisses me off. And...
There's some it's suffering, there's some it's effort.
I mean,
it really pisses me off. Yeah.
Lay there and suffer.
Yeah, why not?
What if I have to sound kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah. The word is...
That's good. Lay there and suffer, you know.
That's cool. Like, that's okay with me.
Pee the bed or, you know, get to the restroom on time.
But when I have to try...
How bad is my suffering? Am I going to actually use the restroom or am I just going to... No, I think I'll just pee right here.
I told you to be
the next tagline for the Nice Guys song. Just lay there and suffer.
Really. Fuck you. Just lay there and suffer.
Life is good t-shirts took off. You never know. It's just the opposite.
Mm-hmm. What's wrong with effort?
Effortless. I'm good with that.
You're okay. So you've placed a certain qualification then on this, that if it looks like effort, either someone else's or principally your own, right? Do other people's efforts piss you off or just your own? They're okay.
Yeah.
All right, good.
But I have an issue with effort anyway.
Well, but what you're having an issue with is an inconvenient hallucination.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm, just certain.
Well, you create or consciousness creates, right? The luminous nature of experiencing appears to create, at a minimum, bifurcation. Something as opposed to something else. Effort as opposed to effortlessness. My crappy experience as opposed to Byron Katie's wonderful experience. Right? My routine life, which is not the same as Adyashanti's fantastic life of writing and speaking to the camera and holding retreats and being engaged with novelty day in and day out through the process of helping aspirants discover what enlightenment is, and then if it hits, then he can invite them to teach. That's the life I want. I'll just sit around here and let you all know that I invite you to teach. What the fuck does that mean? I mean, the whole thing is, right? It's just a grandiose hallucination. So back to effort and effortlessness.
I feel like I'm sort of on the verge of understanding something. So.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Should we get a net? Should we get a net or a broom?
Doesn't matter. Right?
Or a mop.
But
a mop.
Really.
Because when you say this does itself,
right,
it's landing in whatever.
Right, in the likes of you.
No effort.
Okay, fair enough.
So then whenever I make an effort, I'm pissed off.
But it's doing that too.
Yeah, so this is where I gotta make the.
No, you don't have to do anything.
Okay. Stop making that.
Just later.
If it shows up in your experience as effortlessness, then you are the enjoyer of some kind of relaxation, right? Trueness. Mm-hmm. Then if this doing itself lands in you as the appearance of effort, then you're a lunatic.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, then this is doing that.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Because I could just call that suffering and then I'm bam.
Then you're good again. See,
effort
for her,
right there,
for
bam,
you, the, for
bam.
You, the equation is let's enroll the conundrum between effort and effortlessness back into something that you're perfectly comfortable with,
yeah.
Which is suffering, and then you're okay.
Yeah.
All right, good.
But that's like, what would you call that? Mental gymnastics, but if it works, whatever.
Gymnastics, masturbation, whatever.
Huh.
I prefer masturbation.
Yeah.
I see what you mean by this three steps ahead of depression.
Nice, right.
You know, and mm-hmm. like with her schedule and me trying to have a schedule.
Or, yeah.
You know, we all have our, tactics, so to speak.
We do.
If we're five steps ahead, then we can avoid the future possibility of something negative like depression.
There you go. You're trying to outwit the future you don't actually have.
Yeah. I got it. Or the avoidance, like, okay, you know, in a sense, by coming here, I'm avoiding the irritation of the other place.
And then what you're trying to avoid is ruin you.
Yeah, that's right. Avoidance is running your show.
Yeah, right. Avoidance is running the show. The avoidance of depression.
Of anything, right.
Yeah.
The avoidance is running your show.
And how do you stop the avoidance?
That's why we have this delicious breakfast. Yeah. Yeah, there's no how.
I notice a function that arises, I would call it a fix-it mode.
Hmm, yeah.
And that can be very, very irritating.
Sure.
Because I've already determined that something needs some correction, adjustment.
Yep.
Steering, that sort of.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're going to jump in the car and drive to the location where the fixing needs to happen.
And then, I could make something up about finding relief even in the music when that comes up, but that's still a clever, reifying of the self.
Yeah.
It's looking over it. And
right.
Not fully present in it. It's kind of an escape. It's subtle.
Your eyes are the eyes of God. You can see what this is doing. As you see what it's doing, it won't afflict you any longer. Here's the dreaming right now. Holy Mother of God, this dreams. I thought it was something, but it's not anything. It just dreams. Holy shit.
Or the idea that my life, sorry, Jeff, you're off in like
back to me.
Peace.
And let's talk about me.
It's all about me.
So anyway.
It is. No, it is all about you. Of course it is.
That was cute. But anyway.
Yeah.
I just recognized something that, like, you know, if I had the right guy and the right relationship and the right thing, that I could go to England and go to Italy and go to France and go to...
Sounds good.
But I'm always, like, looking for...
He's looking for you, too, by the way.
Yeah, right? He's looking for me, too, but we're both looking. We're always looking, looking, looking. And it's like, if I had this, if I had this, if I had this, I could have this, and I could have this.
That's right. As long as there's...
So I'm always like...
As long as there's having, right. Having is spelled S-U-F-F-E-R-I-N-G.
And I understand that if I, you know, if I got this and I got this, then I got that, where would I be when I had this? Like, I have the perfect relationship, everything's great, I'm now in England, I'm looking at... Stonehenge, and my imagination is, you know, whatever.
Go on the tour. Maybe he's on the bus.
Maybe not.
You won't know.
Yeah, but you know what? I've gone on the tours thinking maybe something
and
was
he hadn't,
available.
Hasn't shown up yet.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, somebody would come along with some cocaine when I was... Drugging.
Sweet, I want to go on those tours.
Yeah.
You wind up in jail in Europe. Yeah.
Or the best champagne. Or
that's
where we'd meet some
are.
Famous person.
Jail in Europe.
Castle,
let's go.
Whatever the imagination, you know.
Hey, you're single, I'm single. Let's go to Europe and just check out the jails. Sorry. Sounds like a good idea.
I mean, these are all just my crazy thoughts. I'm sorry.
Why apologize? They're everyone's thoughts.
Yeah, we had a good time.
And I mean, now I can add to my inventory of things to do. Go to Stonehenge with a great guy. I missed that one.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Right.
Sounds great.
Well, everybody's going to want to go to Stonehenge with a great guy.
Road trip.
You're going to the jail in Europe.
Oh, yeah, that's a good place to go, too.
Hey, guys? I think so.
No, I don't.
Hi, guys. I'm bad.
If you're looking for a convict, I know where it is.
Of course, if you do one of my other plans, you know
why I'm here, don't you? I'm bad.
I am. Maybe we can start a time trip, because, yeah, they'll start paying for us to go there, I'm sure.
So the, it's possible to observe that it's kind of like going down a funnel to discover the most poignant core of dissatisfaction, of what it is that we're trying to medicate, ameliorate, evade, avoid, or get to maximize satisfaction?
Or ameliorate suffering.
Both. Yeah, ameliorate suffering is...
I can go to Stonehenge by myself on the tour because there could be drinking there and I might pick up a drink and then end up in jail.
There you go. Sure. It can go 1,000 different ways, right? Anything that you might be interested in doing... could be great because of, or could suck because of. And so there, you are not limited in your imagination of creating scenarios that are not happening. You are totally unlimited.
Right.
How does great art occur? How do great movies and books occur? Because we are absolutely unlimited, pouring through infinitude into imagining what's not happening.
Yeah, when you were talking about not having a driving wheel,
yeah,
I had all these wacko images of the steering wheel turning into a frisbee.
Yeah, and then throw yourself off a cliff.
And then another one comes, and then it turns into something else.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, mind.
Yeah.
Entertainment could be an escape. Yes.
So here, what you talked about going down the final one, the refinement. I could say that I am hoping that this thing with effort is such a presupposition. But I know goddamn well that next month I'm going to be sitting here saying, you know what's pissing me off? And it's going to be something else.
Cool. All right. Well done.
So
at least you got off one horse and got on another.
Ride another horse for a while.
So then the value of having a strange conversation like this one is not to navigate or negotiate with symptoms, because that's gone on forever and will and can. Because it is an infinitude of curious misunderstanding. So trying to negotiate or navigate the symptoms of an infinity of curious misunderstanding will take forever.
Want to buy a watch?
Want to buy a watch. So we might be inclined to see if it's possible to aim for, relax into lowest common denominator of the myth of self, of the genesis of resistance, the genesis of suffering.
And in that,
yeah,
what's going to come up?
That's right.
The bullshit is going to come up.
Absolutely. Yeah. The moment that you turn your gaze to a wondering, which is a receptive attitude, right? Open. Then the dark side of the moon comes into view.
I was just listening.
I was waiting.
There you go, it's Genesis.
I'm thinking of
the dark side of the moon is after the Genesis, you said.
Yeah.
Yep.
Why have a quarrel with effort? Because you've done something wrong?
Because it pisses me off. It doesn't matter if it's valid or not.
It's
how I experience it.
Yes. What is it about effort that's pissing you off?
Because it takes effort. Why should I make an effort if it makes no difference? What the fuck? Right?
Okay.
I can enjoy, in my experience, I can take care of business without making an effort.
Yes.
See, in my experience.
Yes.
So that when I make an effort, that is unpleasant.
I see.
And I don't know exactly, I can't quite analyze that, but to me it means an error. That's what it
means.
Well,
why don't you...
It's my root. You've done something, the feeling that you've done something. That's like the root of everything.
When you're suffering,
I've done something. Every moment is fraught with having done something wrong.
But because of the fact that I can experience suffering and not feel that way, I am confident that the next time I'm really making an effort, I can laugh at it. I'll get back to you on that. Because I can be an idiot and work my ass off for no reason. And that's what I do.
But the idea might be to enjoy working your ass off.
I can also do that. I can do that. Right, that is my hope.
It's because you want to rule the world.
Because what? I missed that.
I can't explain it.
Everybody wants to roll the world into a 10 or what's that, Jack?
Maybe we should keep an eye on this. There's somewhere where there's music. Yeah, that's the boy. That's amazing. That's how he does Tuesday and Thursday.
All of these investments in what about me? You want to rule the world.
Absolutely.
There's a high five.
That's what causes our suffering.
Yeah,
that is what causes us to suffer.
But we'd rather suffer than not rule the world.
But I think
it's not actually causal. Right now, there's absolutely no affliction. There's no impulse to rule the world. There's no avoidance. There's no appointments. There's no conflict with effort or not effort. There's absolutely nothing. Here. Nothing. Anything that we imagine is afflictive is dreamed into view. Presently. That's the good news. Because if it's dreamed into view presently, and you get a glimpse of it, that's its resolution. But this is not psychiatric. See how we become embroiled from a psychiatric filter. Once we start negotiating and navigating with the miraculous, bizarre vicissitudes of phenomena from a psychiatric point of view, all of these quarrels are on tap.
Are what?
On tap, like the bar that we're wise enough to go to, right? I'll have another bartender. All of the quarrels that we have with experiencing are on tap.
There is some kind of hit from understanding, but it's a never-ending loop.
Well, see, understanding is not material. It's not psychiatric. Quarrels, affliction, pluses and minuses, measure, comparison.
In your energetic presence.
Yes. Yeah. Once we leave, which is nonstop, the psychiatric filter, the psychiatric realm, tell me about this. Tell me all about it.
So where does the desire for communication come from? Just like, again, tell me about it. What is this? What is awakening?
Yeah.
Where does all that
come from? Where does what come from?
Bubble up. I mean,
if this were a here, you could say this is responsible for it.
Just looking at this dance of exploration that we kind of...
We'll drop the exploration. Just land in nothing. Fuck the exploration.
Because that takes ever.
Well, it's just... it could be worthwhile to, right, you know, we've used the metaphor of putting your face up against the glass so that you can really see whether right now you need to process this miracle through psychiatric filter, through discursive or conversant filter. That doesn't mean I'm asking anyone not to say anything. Right? You have a quarrel with something? You made it up. Which is your privilege to do so.
But as soon as I recognize that I made it up,
yeah,
then basically it disappears.
Well,
then we have to see what appears.
Well,
this is going to be more bullshit. Trust me on that.
I do. I hear you, sister. That's just conjecture.
Everything is conjecture.
This is not conjecture.
Right. But.
No buts. This is not conjecture. Psychiatric rumination is conjecture.
As is the expression, the verbal expression.
Yes.
That you're attempting so beautifully.
Ah, thank you so much.
With razor precision.
Yeah.
But still, it falls short.
You mean I'm no good, is what you're trying to say.
Well, you know it has to fall short. It has to.
Didn't your mother say something like that?
I got that message.
Beautiful. But in the end.
There is no end.
Okay. In the reality.
There is no reality.
Okay, in the beginning.
This cannot fall short of itself.
When you say this.
But nothing can fall short of itself. Even fanciful quarrels made up in one's mind about the nature of what we think reality is do not fall short.
Okay.
You see, you have to invest in the imagination of something falling short to continue to self-accuse as not being this. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when these thoughts, good, bad, ugly,
yeah,
thoughts come along,
right?
It's just like boom, boom. Just watching them, like, oh, that's interesting. I just had a thought to, like, you know, shoot somebody. Well, that's interesting. I just had a thought that I'm, you know, the queen of the universe, or in some way. I'm good, you know, some good thought of, you know, lights and happiness and pictures. And, you know, oh, that's interesting.
See it? Here it is. Right now. What you're elucidating is what's happening right now. There's a refinement. You are good. We're very addicted to what is appearing in thought, investing in it as reflective of reality or truth, then embellishing, negotiating, navigating, storing, sorting, prioritizing, having a quarrel with everything that appears in the vicinity, the atmosphere of thought. That's hysteria. True hysteria. Then we formulate or define our lives through the filter of that hysteria. Mostly sub or unconsciously. We don't even know what we've made vows never to have happen again or to happen again. We are so downstream in compensatory mechanisms that we can't even recall what it is or was that bothered or frightened us in the first place. So we live our lives in a cauldron of compensatory behavioral dissatisfactions. And we don't even remember what the primary motive was to be us.
What is the primary motive to be us?
Find out. I'm not sure there is one. There might not be one, because this dreams, and it doesn't need a motive. All that you imagine this to be, or yourself to be, is dreamed in place, and it has no motive.
We've totally forgotten what we set out to protect.
So if the specificity arises as self.
Yeah.
And it's just a dream that came from who knows where, for who knows why or what.
Yeah, sure.
Why this?
Why does it look like this? That's a great question. Why does it look like this? Why is the electromagnetic spectrum go from ultraviolet to infrared and every imaginable sine wave in between? No one has any idea why it looks like this. Why the miracle of nothing has chosen, is that the word you could use, to look like this, to feel like this, to be an observable universe from the vantage point of a primate on what we call Earth. It's just dreaming. It's just like, you know, kicking back, smoking a little Panama Red.
Who the heck came up with earlobes? I mean, come on. Really?
I don't know.
That's so Cal Burnett could say hi to her grandma. That's why I never heard an opus that long. Sorry. Just came from nowhere.
Why five fingers of toes instead of like four? You have a four.
Ask the Kabbalists, they'll give you a reason.
I think Elmo has four. Mm-hmm.
There's something to do with the pendulum. Two is good enough for the sloth. Why do we need five?
That's why Dave needs that. I was caught on an idea one time that since absolutely 95% of the creatures we see have a face, like two eyes and a nose and a mouth, it means it all has vision. What are the odds? No, seriously, all the animals, all the insects, all the everything.
The clouds.
Yes. Yeah, we find it there too.
Yeah. But seriously, what's it? It has to be faith. It's just the way we're seeing it.
Yeah. What would this start to look like or feel like once we got some relief from the habit of psychiatric filtering? This is not about you, what you do, what you don't do, what you plan on doing, what your motives are, what the takeaway is, who you hope to find in your future, how great it's going to be. This is not about anything. And we go insane making this about something, which creates spontaneously a reification of self as a primate aiming for optimal experience before I die. In that regard, then everyone is living profoundly avoidantly.
Would that be a presumption, though? I'm just... Suppose I'm doing the illusion of great self-centered suffering.
Bravo!
And I'm doing a really good job of it. So there's an example of what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But inside of that experience, there's someone laughing. Some energy that's laughing. I don't know if that's a psychic or an additional illusion, but the appearance, though.
Yeah.
Suffering.
Well, is this present or hypothetical.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Even presently,
yes.
Can I really know what's going on inside of what I'm seeing as Jeff or anyone else? Even if it appears as though, oh my God, this guy's got issues.
That's for sure true.
Or, oh my God, I've got issues. Everyone else has got it together.
Yeah, that we knew for a long time. He won't listen. We don't often feel this consciously or articulate it. Once this starts to go rubber, which speaks to that we can't really know anything about anything about anything that appears to be appearing in the appearance of what I think I know about it. Right? I mean, it's a never-ending regression of I have no idea. Now, once we start to become comfortable with, a lot of, call it, psycho-triggers, fail safes go off.
They sure do.
A lot of fail safes go off. Because the entirety of what you think you are, what you think this is, the justifications of your life as a biologic process in time-space is all absolutely off the table.
All absolutely what?
Off the table. Not so. And this is the cathartic, right? Call it a cathartic membrane. That we say learn to be, to see, to feel, and become, what's the word, comfortable with, so that we're not, right, spinning back into anecdotal hysteria, so that we don't have to put our faces into the void. We reconstruct and reconstruct and reconstruct and reconstruct, because it's really weird that you could just relax completely from constructing anything. Stonehenge can kiss my ass. You know, and or be a profound spiritual place, sacred place to go, alone or with a friend.
Yeah, I interviewed a stone once and he said one thing, life is hard.
Life is hard.
Sinuses.
Cleared that up. You'll notice how an inquiry, call it that, can shift from psychiatric emotive themes about compensatory mechanisms that I have cleverly adopted in my imaginary life to, I have no idea what this is, and therefore the investments that I used to make with great verve in ensuring that I would not suffer again, they're not, they just don't matter. But there's no utility. You see, as long as we bring forth or continue to invest in the sense of this miracle being appearing to me as a separate creature, that's when I want utility. But if you're not a creature, there's no interest in utility. Unbroken effortlessness. But it's not even necessary or fair to set that up as some kind of ideal. Because even an ideal, right, places one as an experiencer or an experiencing into a condition which is going to feel different, much better, perhaps preferable to this.
I think I piggybacked what you just were describing as effortlessness into what you also described as something you want to do before you die.
Yeah.
So I put them together, which is I want to fucking relax before I
die. Well put, yeah.
Can
sure.
I just relax before I drop dead?
Good question. Yes. Yeah. Nice.
So
isn't that the aspiration of all seeker fuckers? Yeah, I just want to relax before I die. And yet we place so much investment in anything but that.
I'm willing to work my ass off to be able to relax.
To be able to see? I'm willing to work my ass off to be able to relax. Right. Yeah. Yeah, it is absurd.
And anyone who doubts we're insane is insane.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably like the leader of a country or something.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. The problem seems to come in when other people's anecdotal hysteria.
Yes. Right.
Crosses my field of my world.
I don't behave the way you want to.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Well, if you, as you discard yourself with just a naturally occurring confidence, then you're going to find yourself being less put upon or afflicted by the so-called behaviors of others and how they interface with you. Because they're just elements of your hallucination anyway. Do you really need anyone to do anything other than what they are doing? If you do, you're fucked.
Well, even more important is, do you need you to do something? Yes. I don't need them to do it. Okay, it lifts you.
Well, yeah, that's right.
Like the trump card is, well,
everybody wants to rule the world. Yeah. Yeah. The only reason that we're annoyed by the presence, absence, or behaviors of others is because of how it lands in me. Their affliction, refinement, spiritual authenticity is of no value to me at all. If I'm triggered, if I'm reactive, if I'm justifying, if I'm, you know, hoping to be retaliatory. Where's the suffering in them?
So you can say something like, oh, that's interesting what you're doing out of your, like, you know, just thinking about, I just heard something this morning, but I don't watch TV, but I, you know, something about invading northern Iraq or something. I don't even know who's doing the invading, I guess southern Iraq. But, you know, and the whole, you know, and I just sit there and think about their anecdotal hysteria that would cause them to go into this country and just, like, create this mess, you know what I mean? And just put their lives in danger and, like, what, why, where, you know what I mean? But it's like, oh, that's interesting you're doing that. Because I'm not really attached to it, because it's, of course, not about me, not real close to home, you know.
We'd have to ask the Christ whether, prior to his final exhaustion on the cross, he was going, interesting. Mm-hmm. You know? With the bleeding and the thorns and the asphyxiation and the humiliations and the spear and the whole deal and the whipping, right? I don't know what was he doing. This is some interesting shit here. I don't know. Or he may have been howling. He might have been howling. I don't know. I wasn't there. Or if I was, I forgot.
There is such a thing as past lives. We've all had something, you know, maybe I was beheaded or...
Yeah. So was Ganesh.
Entirely impossible, I was.
Nice clean cut from this life. Very quick.
To be beheaded.
Well, the anticipation of that is probably what I would say. You know, getting back to peace, I never once thought of peace being death. Today, I'm connecting peace to death.
Sounds pretty good. I think people commit suicide.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Get rid of this thing that seems to cause so much just to kill.
Before it was always connected to life and some improved condition of sorts. But to completely let go of self. I mean, not that I'm like even motivated or desirous to do something of that nature. More than accepting Robin or Zaya or Paul. Okay.
Of space, time, which encourage or reinforce restlessness of self, not having optimal experience, and then wanting to invest in having optimal experience. All of this is appearing as a dream. It's a dreamscape. It becomes very important to us if we invest in it or take it to be the defining reality of what's occurring to me between birth and death. So we become identified with circumstances, events, corporeal existence, and the optimization of corporeal sentient existence as a disparate character, creature. You will never find any peace in that realm. Optimizers, indulgences, perhaps posers, great loves, wonderful orgiastic episodes of all kinds. Why not? There's no real satisfaction there. It's always punctuated by restlessness and becoming. Because it's dreaming. To see that it's dream.
What's the it?
Yeah, you can't say. It's dreaming is dreaming. There is no it. You can't anthropomorphize whatever this is or isn't, being of a nature or of a source, or in a place or a time.
Yes, the
mysterious place.
Or you can ask the IT department.
Yeah, you can always ask the IT department.
Excuse me. The guy behind the curtain with the knives.
Yeah.
Are you running this program? I like to make an edit.
You could start like a new psychological thing like Byron and Katie with that. I'd like to make an edit in the program. I'd like to make an edit in my program. Please. I'm editing
from the other hand.
Yes. Thank goodness we have at least two.
As these things that you previously mentioned are occurring,
right,
such as, yes, if whatever, I don't know, happiness.
Let's sign up.
I don't remember what
not
you mentioned.
That the program.
No. I don't. Whatever it was you mentioned that we might seek. Okay.
Yeah.
As they are occurring, they are in fact the fulfilled. They are totally fulfilling.
This is too.
That's what I mean.
Yes.
So that the.
Yeah.
When you seek the repetition of something that is not currently occurring, then there is no fulfillment. But if it is currently occurring.
Yeah. Well, it depends on what you mean by fulfillment. All right?
Emergent.
Well, is this moment fulfilling or not because it's less than orgiastic?
I would say that it is fulfilling.
Okay.
Because it's totally immersive.
Okay. Done.
But in the same way that if I were to seek XYZ.
You're not going to do that anymore.
But when XYZ is occurring, it is totally fulfilling.
Okay. Yeah. If self-realization is real and is worth anything, you could say it would be the cessation of the imagination of unfulfillment.
I'm hanging my hat on that. I'll probably forget it in 2 minutes.
Well, it's stranger than that because not only does it transcend the psychiatric filter, but it also transcends the corporeal filter.
And yet we're still seemingly in this body. It's the mechanism by which we take in the temperature, smell, taste, light.
It's just a filter. It's not really the case. Isn't it a question of where the confidence of identity gets interested? The confidence of one's identity, one's awareness, one's miraculous capacity, which is the revelation of dreaming. You are first and foremost the revelation of dreaming. Where does your interest go? Well, it goes to the psychiatric filter, or it goes to the corporeal filter, or it goes to the geocosmic filter. You see? But all of those are myth. It's all myth.
If you call the one that wants to understand, it wasn't the psychic one, it's not the corporeal one, the mental? Mentation?
That's psychiatric.
Oh, it isn't psychiatric.
Well, but the point being is that what you are before any of these so-called filters glean or earn your attention, you are dreaming. Your primacy is the revelation of dreaming. Then dreaming gets interested in mentation or psychiatric filter. Or dreaming becomes interested with the humors of the body and the remarkable sensitivities. Or your dreaming becomes interested in what you might see through a giant telescope.
It's like constant lucid dreaming, which doesn't really make sense. I mean, that's made up too, but it's a metaphor.
But that's a fair observation. All this is nonstop lucid dreaming. But the lucidity doesn't actually convey agency or subject or object or thing or independently existing universe at all. As awareness, as dreaming, as the primacy of imaginative prowess. It's all the same. And you can't really say with any certainty what it is or isn't. Because there's nothing behind it that is actually existent that could be held responsible for the so-called metaphor of dreaming. It's just dreaming. And it can evoke, and does evoke, you could say, anything it wants to. Yes, and what do you mean by feeling? I'm not saying you're right or wrong or on it or off it. Feeling is a great, great way to say, I don't really know.
No.
Right? Yeah, because, I mean, we certainly can appreciate that when we use the word feeling, we're not talking about sentimentality or emotion. We're talking about the radiant, vibratory texture of sentience itself.
It's so easy to think of feeling as a source.
Yeah. But if a source is not other than its symptoms, is it a source?
Without endorphin or feeling loop of reinforcement, would anything be repeated?
Nothing is repeated.
Or revisited.
Nothing's revisited. Only imaginarily so. Every moment is a complete refresh that has never happened before, if there were a before, and will never happen again.
Let me for a moment get real primal.
Sure.
It feels good to let go, to eliminate.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of sensation and pleasure in letting go.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love the
There you go.
It's a beautiful
thing. So then, you know, when you have that sensation that you need to let go, you look forward to letting go. You know, you take measures. So it's kind of silly because it triggered from the feeling tone, even though there's much more subtle, at least subtle references to feeling this without perhaps reference. That's, you know, I started at a very basic.
We should stay with the pooping thing. It works.
We're still on the pooping.
I am. I'm like,
might as well start with the root.
I don't think anyone at this table can actually ever get beyond the pooping thing. So we may as well just stay with it.
Yes, because when she kept talking about the bullshit floating up, I said, must be a high fiber diet. And
all of this exotic self-realization talk is really just about pooping.
That's why we call it bullshit.
I'm going to get to underutilize stomach, you know?
Oh, it's very important, you know? Very important.
So, but that feeling tone is something that I find fascinating to explore in various nuances.
They don't really add this to the documentaries, but if you do go see the Dalai Lama, the first thing out of his mouth is, are you regular?
Isn't that 5-1 commercial? I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
Got fiber?
Does it fit?
I'm the son of a farmer. I'm glad I'm not from here.
Well, the interesting thing about all that is that the physician to the Dalai Lama, the first question he probably would ask is exactly that.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you regular?
Yeah. Master, did you poop today?
And if so, there's more details to be added.
What are the bowels of this teacher?
Let's get down and dirty. Let's do it.
The best way to get out of the labyrinth is to follow the Minotaur poop.
Minotaur?
It's Minotaur.
the man's body in the bull's head.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Right? Isn't that the Minotaur?
It is.
Who dwells inside the labyrinth? Now you are destined to simply become more lusciously acquainted with subtle ruminations that are presently appearing or available that we don't give our attention to because the magic of dreaming has become consumed with the psychiatric or the corporeal, right? Or the geocosmic. But there's, if you want to call it, multiple parallel universes or an infinity of refinement and subtlety available within the heart or the pulse of dreaming itself, then all of it is presently available to you as you, appearing in you with perfect and unbroken intimacy, unfracturable intimacy.
Suggesting a transhuman possibility.
Not even possibility.
Right. The references we're so accustomed to is just a
right.
Tiny slice
right.
of the spectrum.
Yes. Right. So when we use the metaphor enlightenment, right? Enlightenment is a relief meme for what? For dreaming that has become usurped by the narrow bandwidth of mentation, psychiatry, corporeal existence, or geocosmic phenomena.
A human is sociocultural.
Thank you. Thank you.
The discomfort of that seems to go up and up the more you get the discomfort
yes.
of being completely consumed by
yes.
this.
That's right.
Is increasing.
Yeah, the discomfort has to increase. We cannot avoid the discovery that we are idiots.
That's true. That's really true.
Either that or it's just a normal average midlife bullshit. There is really truth.
Again, you know, anyone can frame this any way they want, spontaneously appearing, place as much confidence in it as they wish to.
I really want to spiritualize everything, make all my problems. Oh, it's just that I'm progressing along the path, which is
my mind's expanding it into an extreme of a B.F. Skinner environment, 77 degrees, and the humidity just being so.
Yeah.
Hell is anything slightly above.
It is, isn't it?
Controlled environment.
Yeah. How quickly will the grocery shelves go empty if the very narrow bandwidth of expectation for sustenance gets interrupted? Right? Chaos is at hand. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Right.
It's funny because it seems to be more at hand than it's ever been, if you look around.
More what?
More at hand. Chaos being more at hand than it's ever been. And yet it keeps... It makes no sense that anything hangs together. It truly makes no sense.
Nothing does. As we become available, again, with no effort whatsoever, this dreaming says, oh, you mean I can stop? You mean, it's like you've taken the cap off of a bottle and the genie comes out. So the dreaming, you, in a sense, you've popped the cork on the myth of yourself. Now your dreaming is free to go. And it's not going, it's likely not going to negotiate with much interest in your psychiatric life, your corporeal life, your geocosmic life. It is like, you got to be kidding me. Why would I hang out with the likes of you and your serendipitous bullshit presumptions about what reality is when I can go and am anywhere and everything? So when we talk about self-realization in most of the schools and religions, etc., that speak about it, it all seems like such a small minded resolution for the myth of psychiatric or corporeal filtering. And then it's even sold in the books that are printed as something that happened to someone, which did what exactly? It's like our capacity to feel the unspeakable immensity and potency of dreaming itself is off the charts, and yet we continue to seem to reinforce these same silly modes of I, me, my ego, what step I'm on in the Course in Miracles. You don't need a remedy for this. You don't need to remedy yourself.
Somehow attached to, right now in this moment, the idea of transcendence.
Yes.
And some of these activities aid in that transcendence.
Aid and abet.
Which takes the bandwidth of, oh, all there is to it.
Yes.
I see that play coming out. Why do I do these things? You know, why do I love to meditate? Why do I love to have a breakthrough and get those goosebumps?
Yeah.
Why do I get pleasure out of the relief of being in total suffering and being okay with it?
Yes.
You know, in a way, it tickles out a transcendent sort of a desire, you might say.
Absolutely.
God, if this is all there is, and I know there's more. I do stuff to remind myself that there's more.
This is what this does. It's breaking free of the shell that it's not living in. Like hydrogen loves to escape, this loves to revel in its own self-transcendent nature. That's its principal hunger. Which is not a hunger.
Is it like a dream wanting to go home? Where did the dream come from? Who knows? It knows it's not just this. It's specificity.
Yes. Yes. Right. You wake up to the assuredness that you are not what you think. Then you are naturally inclined to investigate in a different way, elsewhere. Other than negotiating with the artifacts of one's sorrow.